Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Sans Fans Network.
Hey everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Shut Up A Second. I'm Cass, Hayden's present.
Hello.
And today we are joined by a very special guest, host of Two in the Think Tank, Alistair Trombley-Birchall.
Hello everybody, I'm so sorry. I went in with too much energy. I went for too long a hello.
That's everyone was thinking it.
Yeah. And today we're talking about submarines.
Bloop. If you are in a submarine, and ATB, I'm relying on your knowledge as an engineer, which you are one, I think, in a way.
Technically, am.
Yep.
Submarines have an engine. That's his domain.
Oh, true. If you are in a submarine, you're underwater, and then you have a major engine fail, do you just die? Like, are you just fucked?
Damn, I don't 100% know the all the buoyancy things, but I assume.
Because it feels like you're just fucked.
I assume there's got to be something to do with, like, taking on water and letting out water.
Oh, yeah, there must be.
I learned how it worked. I looked up how submarines work for my facts section.
Oh, this is so great.
Is it too early to get stuck into it?
It seems like it is, but let's do it. Fuck it.
It would be wonderful to be on topic for a little
bit. I could not work out how submarines did that. And so
sink and float?
Yeah. Mm. I mean, the sink.
Sink's easy.
Sink's easy. So if you're a submarine, you're on the top of the water, you weigh less than the water, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then if you want to sink, you start letting water in. You open up these vents. Air leaves these vents.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the...
Ballast? Is it ballast?
It's called the ballast,
Look at me! Mr. Submarine over here!
Water into the ballast until you sink, and then when you're happy, you just stop letting water in, right?
Yeah.
But there's another important feature.
Mm.
Called the trim.
The trim.
The trim. Now, trim is keeping the submarine level, right?
Oh, yeah. I never thought about that. I guess, like, because if you have too much water on one end, even just a little bit, it's going to start sliding.
It tits up. Yeah.
And then you'd just start sinking, right?
Yeah.
Because even just a little bit, or maybe you wouldn't start sinking. I don't know. But, yeah, you would really be in a bit of a doozy.
You would be in an absolute doozy. So there are two rudders that control the lateral and other lateral movement of the submarine. So the one that's side to side, and that also controls the turning, is called the yaw.
Yeah.
Ooh, yaw.
Like in planes, I know yaw.
And then the other one, which is the rise and the descent, is called the pitch.
Oh, yes.
I think it's the same. That's the same as planes, isn't it?
I think it's all
aerodynamics, I guess, to a certain extent. I mean, it's all fluid dynamics.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is where it gets technical,
is
that gases are a fluid, essentially. So, and air is a gas, and so it's all kind of fluid dynamics.
So people talk about fluid dynamics, they're talking about air as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think it can in some regards, but now I'm doubting myself a lot because I know that gases do have a lot of different, different properties, but they are essentially a fluid in some capacity.
What are some of the capacities?
I think the fact that you can sort of walk
through it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think
you can travel through it easily.
I think a very similar principles apply in terms of trying to move things through air and liquid. So, you know, like the same kind of shapes and things like that will be more
drag and stuff.
More draggy, more or less draggy.
Yeah.
You know, propulsion is still a lot of the same, you know, propellers and kind of things like that.
Yeah, that's true. You don't see too many like bi-wing submarines though, do you? What's up with that?
wait, bi-wing submarines. Oh, yeah, okay. Because the gases are a much less viscous gas, fluid. And so in order to go up through it, you're not just floating because it's be impossible basically other than through using balloons, hot air balloons and stuff. Or
lighter than air.
What's my favorite word to say? Dirigibles?
Dirigible.
I love a dirigible. I love the idea of a personal dirigible. It's like a blimp.
Yeah, I was going to say a blimp. Is like
you know,
rigid,
like the
dirigible,
idea that you could just like pump up some, you know, just have a gas tank.
God, that'd be good.
Pump it up, and then you just go like that. Mm. And then you just, you know, just head wherever, but real slow. But like,
and with no real control.
I mean, it had propellers and stuff, like a dirigible.
You get little bomb propellers if you become a dirigible.
There was a hot air balloon that had to emergency land sort of near us.
Emergency land? Is that knife in the balloon?
No. I think it's more like, we are not where we were supposed to end up. Let's just land on this oval. And so I tried to Google the story, and I Googled it was the Nova 100 balloon, and I'm like, Nova 100 balloon emergency landing. And that balloon, and I suppose every balloon, has to emergency land all the time. There are so many, and it makes sense, because how do you steer those things?
Oh, yeah, I have no idea how you'd make any good decisions.
Yeah, like to... I think you have weights, potentially. I feel like you have like bags of sand or something.
Yeah, but and are that you just dropping them onto the ground?
Yeah, how do you
get rid of them? It has to go up or down.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's your ballast, it's sandbags.
Oh, we're out of sand.
Oh, fuck. Oh, into space we go. No, it's, I think they, I mean, I could be wrong. I feel like I can imagine a cartoon version of a hot air balloon doing this, though. So, yeah. And they have bags of sand on ropes and they dangle them one side, and that way it's kind of a weight to it on one side and it would kind of float. Obviously, wind would.
I was wondering why they had sandbags.
Yeah, obviously,
it's not
wind.
Like you could add more to sink.
Yeah, but that's like the less, more or less hot.
Oh, yeah, more or less hot is rise and sink.
Yeah, I guess that is overpowered by wind probably most of the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So... Are you stronger than a bag of sand?
Yep.
Yes.
Absolutely, I am.
I wanted to finish the wing thing.
Oh, yeah, sorry. So then, the wing thing.
So then, in order to get up, when you don't have the buoyancy from big, large gas, is that you got to get lift, which is you get it through wings.
Yeah.
And so the wings is basically you just pass the air above, or I think the air underneath passes faster than the air above.
Yeah. That's why there's a raised
pressure differential.
There's a bump on top of the wing and a flattish bottom of the wing, right?
And so I think, maybe it slows it down underneath. It's a pressure.
No, I think it goes faster underneath.
Yeah, right.
Maybe.
No, you could be right.
Or maybe that. Maybe the other way.
He's also an engineer, isn't he?
Yeah, I think. Oh yeah, you're an audio engineer.
That's true.
Oh my god,
I'm qualified.
I'm the only non-engineer here.
Ooh, yeah, embarrassing.
So not woman in STEM of me. Oh my god,
I know.
We'll get you a calculator. we got a few.
What is the definition of an engineer? Because I feel like people are throwing that around for all. Because what I do is not. It's not engineering.
But you don't fuck with an engine.
Do I?
The audio engines.
I know, but I never.
I suppose.
Never fucked with engines.
I got a playback engine.
Yeah. Engine. That's, engineer.
Oh, yeah.
What is an engine?
Well, yeah, that takes you to like a philosophical concept. You know, like anytime that you're, you know, somebody who's deep in their field, you ask, you know, like a game designer, you go, what is a game? They go, actually, that's a really complicated question. You know, it's kind of the act of play, but.
I'm using my brain. Does that make me an engineer?
Yeah, a lot of the time, there's just like you have to have a qualification to be technically like a some kind of engineer, but you could do the job of an engineer quite easily. Because I noticed that most of the time when I was working as an engineer, I didn't need to have a degree. It's just nice that I think the engineering firm likes to know that you can understand, you have the ability to learn and understand the concepts behind the spreadsheet that you're just putting numbers into.
Yeah. Good. I wondered this. So when I finished my degree, I was too embarrassed to ask anyone at the uni because that would have just killed me. Mm. But I'm like, can I call myself a linguist or do I have to get a job? And then is it a job title thing or is it a degree thing?
Because you studied linguistics.
Yeah.
But could you be a linguist if you're just a guy who likes words?
Well, that's, you know? That's the thing. And then could you be an engineer if you're just a guy who likes...
Well, no, we just said.
Yeah, but it's a qualification, right?
What? No, I don't know. I'm lost. What?
No, I think it's a good question. I think because, like, I guess if it was psychologist, you know, somebody just finished a degree in psychology, you probably wouldn't call them a psychologist. Maybe.
Wouldn't you?
Oh yeah, no. I think you have to be practicing to be a psychologist. I would think.
Yeah. So is the IST meaning you have to have the job in it?
Well, I think IST just means you do it. Isn't that what the IST is? So if you're if you have a psychology degree but you work not in psychology. You're not doing psychology, so you're not really a psychologist.
Okay, so you're a psychologist.
Yeah, or a psychology.
I was a linguineer.
Academic.
Yeah,
An academic. Can you be an academic with just a bachelor's?
I think anything studying is academic, isn't it?
You're in academia.
Yeah,
No, you have to be working in academia to be an academic.
Oh man.
So maybe you're not.
Gosh, maybe we're not allowed to call ourselves very much.
Yeah, because yeah. Well, some other things I've heard people finish their degree and then call themselves the thing that they did the degree in, and I'm like, is it? But you don't have a job.
You're right, and I do call myself an engineer mostly as like a role while I'm doing comedy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like,
yeah.
Oh, it just gives people something to talk about. Like, they go, oh, and you're an engineer. Like, yeah. That. And you go, yeah. It's like, I'm not really.
You are. Yeah. You did the work.
Yeah. I mean, I've also played engineer yeah. in shows.
And you nearly knew how wings worked.
Yeah.
You were pretty close.
Yeah. I have so read extensively about that and still can't describe it.
Can't remember which way the wing's supposed to go on the plane.
Oh, you asked if why don't submarines have wings?
Yeah.
They do. They have tiny little wings up top.
What?
Yeah, they have little sticky outy wings called the sail planes.
The sail planes? Yeah. Give us a look. I feel like I can't picture that even. Throw me your phone. You're too far away. Oh, my God. Too much. Jesus.
I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. They do it. They have like a little tower that pops up on top of the tube.
But a periscope is.
And that, and then that little tower has little wings.
Also, I completely cooked it before. The yam and the.
The yam?
The yam.
The yore?
The
pitch?
The yaw and the pitch are the steering things. I was getting confused with the trim balancing tanks. Do you want to know how the submarine goes up?
Yeah.
Because I was...
Doesn't they just get rid of water?
What do you mean get rid of water? How do you get rid of water?
Pump it out.
With?
A pump.
Well, do you have to compress air or something like that? Or
With air?
You've got to pump compressed air in and that pushes the water out.
Where do you get the air from?
It's compressed. You just keep a stack of it.
Yeah, maybe you uncompress it. You uncompress it and to let it out, and then maybe you have to compress it to kind of like store it again.
Oh, right. I guess because the air get let go into the water?
Yeah, so when you're going in, the water comes in and pushes the air out, so the air just goes back into where it came from. And the compressed air that you've got in the back, you pump that in, and then I guess it decompresses in the space, pushes more water out, and then you just go to the surface.
Cool.
I have a friend who had a theory about shitting where he was like, oh, if you get rid of your push fart like that, you know, it'll be a slower shit. Like he uses a kind of like... And there probably is an element of this involved in which there are some not hydraulics.
That's hydraulics, isn't it? We're there.
Yeah,
it is hydraulics.
Hydraulics is hydro, so it would be probably liquids.
Oh,
but
shit.
But it's the other one. The other one.
Gastrolics.
Like, yeah, gastrolics.
Either way, it's a fluid. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah. Let's just go with it. Yeah, and yeah, that you know, you, sometimes you can just essentially like fart. He's like, you got to fart that shit out, and it'll be faster. You know.
Saves us if he can feel. If he can feel one brewing, he'll save up any fart that would give him otherwise warning.
But
that's right. Yeah.
Does a fart go around a shit? I suppose it does.
It can, but I think maybe if you let go of the right stuff, the easiest path is through just following that shit like an ambulance going through traffic, you know,
getting the slipstream.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think the biggest barrier for pooing is opening up. So I don't think that's necessarily wrong, because if you get a good opening.
Yeah. I'm not saying that this is. I'm just saying it's my friend's theory.
Yeah.
And I'd never heard anybody else ever refer to push farts.
Push farts. Now that you've said it, like, you've only said it maybe twice or three times, but it feels like a word of... always known, push farts. Do you know what I mean?
It's such a comforting concept.
Yeah.
Like, it really feels like home.
Just feels so familiar.
We've all done a push fart.
Yeah. You know, I know. Yeah, you said push farts. I know exactly what you meant. Push to fart. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of, actually. Yeah. Push to start. It's a push to start car.
It's a push to fart shit.
Oh, pneumatics would be gas hydraulics. You know?
Okay.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yeah.
Ah, rat apples. I've run out of content from my favorite fuckos, Sans Pants Radio. If only they had digital downloads I could acquire and listen to, with many of them having a choose price option so I could swindle them by choosing $0. Oh shit, they do? I just gotta head to sanspantsradio.com/shop, click on downloads, and peruse all the garbage they have on offer, and then give them nothing? Well, dreams can come true. Thanks, SansPantsRadio.com/shop, for letting me take advantage of you and not setting a minimum spend, you dumb fucks.
Did you guys know about that journalist who got killed in a submarine?
No.
Not yet.
No. No, just because it was like from a few years ago, but I think...
Shit, like recently, sort of.
2017.
Fuck, that's recent-ish.
And I think she was... I know she had... been a journalist for The Guardian at some point. But,
oh, so she could call herself a journalist.
Yeah. She just studied journalism.
Mm.
The murder of Kim Wall, known in Denmark as Ubadsagen, translate the submarine case, took place on the 10th of August 2017 after Swedish freelance journalist Kim Wall boarded the small submarine UC-3 Nautilus in Denmark with intent of interviewing its owner, Danish entrepreneur Peter Madsen.
So it was a private... submarine?
Yeah, he was like an entrepreneur. He was like, you should check out this submarine that I've made myself.
Oh, God. Right? But oh, God, that's terrifying. Hey, come into my submarine. Oh, nowhere to run.
But yeah, it's like she was reported missing after Nautilus failed to return to the harbor in Copenhagen. The submarine was found sunken the following morning, and Madsen was arrested upon rescue. Between the 21st of August and 29th of November, parts of Wall's dismembered body were found in different locations around the area. He was charged with her murder, and he was convicted to a life sentence. But I think he tried to pass off
killing her as a submarine crash.
Yeah, like,
fuck.
Accident. He changed his story at some point, where he's like, oh, she was at the top, and then the door fell on her. Like, you know, and then it's like, then later on, then there's this whole documentary where it seems like there was a number of women that he was like kind of trying to murder and that was kind of like luring into his kind of orbit.
Fuck.
A little bit. But yeah, I hadn't heard of any submarine murders, you know.
Yeah.
Don't get in the submarine.
Yeah. So I think I heard submarines move real slow too.
They can't be that fast, right?
It would be a bit silly if they were fast.
Yeah.
Can you imagine them just like dunk, 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 like knocking sharks out the way?
Yeah. But I heard like almost like walking pace or something.
Oh.
Like,
I mean, those propellers are tiny.
Because I think the idea is like if you don't want to, I think the one benefit is that the opposition don't know you've got it.
Yeah.
And so you don't want to be creating a lot of ripples.
Oh, you're creating waves and stuff, of course.
Yeah. I forgot they were sneaky business before fun
business.
Are they fun business? I think it's all snake.
Cameron uses them for fun.
Yeah,
that's true. Jimmy. But he's incredibly rich, and so is this entrepreneur guy. Can you buy a private submarine if I had the money?
Yeah.
Can you?
Yeah.
Personalized sub.
I think so.
Cool. Okay.
I mean, like, there's research subs and stuff like that. Where you know, have you seen those live streams or whatever they do, where they like they just go down deep to the ocean and they're like, oh, a whale carcass, and they're like, oh, this is so cool. And it's
check
just
this
like,
out. This fish is see through.
Yeah.
And its eyes are all black.
Yeah. All that.
I've
kind of
never
stuff.
Seen light before.
Yeah. We're ruining this guy's day. Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is going on? Yeah. Mm. So with the compressed air, then, if you ran out of air in your tank. You're fucked, right? Like,
well, you might be able to recompress that air.
From where?
Well,
if it's getting shot out of...
Well, no, it's not getting shot out. It's just pushing the water out of that tube.
Mm. Yeah, okay, right. And then you recompress it.
Yeah, I assume so.
But how would you... Okay, I guess so.
Maybe you kind of create a bit more of a vacuum in there. I'm not sure. I'm just trying to figure out... Like, I'm trying to do engineering on the spot, like trying to invent submarines in order to understand this.
I didn't see anything about the recompression of air because that also baffled me. Mm. It was all just like pump out or push. Like, it was either suck in water to force the air out or it was pump in air to force the water out. It was very like tug of war.
How do they make sure that there's enough oxygen down there? Like, are they... turning carbon dioxide back into oxygen somehow?
Well, I think they'd surface every once in a while, right? They're not like underwater for weeks.
But
not that it would take weeks to run out of air, but like...
But what about nuclear subs that almost never surface? The reason for them being nuclear is so that you don't ever have to go to port.
Right. Is a nuclear sub a sub that carries nuclear weapons, or is it powered by nuclear?
It's powered by nuclear, but it might also carry nuclear weapons, I think.
It's double nuclear, nuclear sub.
You want to be able to launch nukes from anywhere, maybe. Sure. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure.
Always
but
be ready.
Yeah, I think the idea is that that's part of the, like, you know. That,
they could
that
be anywhere at any point.
Yeah, at any point. We could launch from wherever, and yeah. We always have nukes pointed at you,
yeah.
And not just the ones in the silos that you know where they are or yeah. Whatever like that.
Yeah. Cool.
But I'm not sure about that.
So what, they just constantly, they never surface? They're just constantly traveling around deep underwater?
I guess the people have to get off at some point.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Maybe there's a
the submarine that makes you old. It just takes for your
in real
whole
time.
Life. Yeah, in real time.
Do you want to know the history of submarines?
Yeah.
Oh, please.
So, if you had to sort of ballpark when submarines were first sort of thought upon, not
which we do, which we do,
we do want to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Ballpark. When do you think it would be?
1800s. 1870.
1870.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 1820.
Hmm. Okay, so the first line of the Wikipedia page is, the history of the submarine spans the entire history of human endeavor.
Wow.
Well, we were a bit off.
Yeah. So the whole time we've been around, we've been like, cool to be underwater, huh?
Yeah.
What if we had a thing that we could just hang out underwater like a fish?
Yeah. Was the first submarine someone inverting a boat or something or a coconut?
Well, a coconut?
I have a coconut floating on the water and just putting your mouth in there and trying to breathe that air.
Aren't we getting bigger? Could
have
worked.
We weren't coconut size ever.
Well, that would have been cool.
Well, there's no way for me to know that.
Well, maybe a hollowed out watermelon.
Yeah?
Maybe a hollowed out watermelon.
That could have been good. Well, we did have diving bells, which is essentially what you're talking about, but bigger. It's a big, giant metal container. Well, it's a bell shape, and you plonk it, and you get a big bubble of air, and you put that underwater, and you have it on a chain, so it's sort of hanging submerged, but not on the surface of the floor. So you can dive, go and get a breath, and then keep going. Oh,
imagine if it just came off of its thing and it fell to the ground and then Whoa. You were just like under this bell and you would have air for a bit.
Yeah.
And you're just like, are they going to get, you know, they're going to be able to lift the bell with enough time before I run out of air under this bell?
And they wouldn't have, how would they even do it?
I don't know.
I guess they'd have a bell lifting machine, I suppose.
You'd hope. That's the only thing that would be.
No, it's on the floor.
Yeah. Depending on how deep it is. I wonder if you could get down there with 10 guys and just lift up the
bell. Oh, wait, it's sand. Just dig your way out. Bang.
That is and then if really, you, I don't think I would have thought of that. I think I would have died.
And why didn't he just dig his way out?
I know, but if you dig it, wouldn't water come in from the outside? No, I'm just joking.
Well, wait. No, I guess it wouldn't because of the...
Yeah, you know, because the air.
Yeah, the air bubble. Yeah. So your feet would be wet, I think. And you'd have to swim. But then you could just swim back in as well if you didn't make it to the surface.
Yeah.
I think it'd actually be a chill situation. I'd be fine. I'd be relaxed.
But actually, I got options. Digging underwater would probably be hard as well, because it'd be really ruddy and muddy and kind of stuff.
No, it's really nice. You know, when you're standing in the ocean, you dig your feet in. It's really easy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, easy. I reckon
it almost happens
easy.
Automatically.
Yeah,
with
but
the tide. Yeah,
but like, you'd probably get part way through. You'd get your legs through, and then you'd be like, I need a fucking breath. And
yeah.
So then you'd be like, okay, try again. Go up. Like then they go back down and go, okay, I'm going to try and go into the groove that I was in. But then it will, some of the sand will pour it back in. And you're like,
fuck.
Come on, let's get him. Yeah. You get fucking stuck under there. Anyway, let's hope that this never happens.
Yeah.
I'm sure, I don't think anyone's using diving bells anymore.
It's a great horror movie. Like, you know, like one of those intense ones. It's not a great horror movie.
It's like Buried Alive, that Ryan Reynolds one. I don't think it's called Buried Alive, but the premise is he's buried alive.
Yeah.
It might be called Buried.
Yeah, sometimes, have you ever looked at a movie and been like, you had a budget?
Yeah.
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 I reckon, I feel like Ryan Reynolds' pay on that movie would have been like 90% of the budget. Isn't it just him?
Yeah, it's him in a box.
Yeah. That's smart. That's smart movie making.
Oh, man. The dream of making movies is just finding a really cheap idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Diving bell one could be it.
Do you know
absolutely.
Do you know what people are doing?
What are they doing?
They're making plays into movies. Because you're limited in your set anyway. Like The Whale.
Yeah.
That one.
That's a movie.
That one.
I mean, a play. It's both.
Yeah. The one with Jake Gyllenhaal where he's the emergency responder. That was a play.
That was a play?
It's quite funny that the idea that those would be cheap, because apparently one of the better ways of making money in this industry now is to just own IP and sell it so that people can make money out of it, make movies out of it and other things like that. Also, I just wanted to say this before we move on from the coffin movie.
Yes.
That is the horizontal version of the movie Phone Booth.
I don't know the movie Phone Booth, but I'm assuming it's the vertical version of the Buried Alive.
Yeah. It was just like it was stuck in a phone booth.
He wasn't stuck
inside it, but he was like he had to stay on the phone the whole time. And it might have been – it's either Kiefer Sutherland or the Irish guy.
Oh, I do kind of remember this vaguely. I never saw it, obviously.
Who's the Irish guy who's in this movie about a friendship between two guys?
Oh, Colin.
Colin Farrell, I think maybe it actually is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that's a movie.
It's kind of around the time of like kind of speed style movies and things like that. Like, you know, I was about to say my only Mel Gibson line, which is, give me back my son! But it was like around those kind of like, you know, Ransom and Speed 3 or something like that.
Is that Mel Gibson?
Give me back my son! I think that's him in Ransom. Maybe.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, you're not thinking about Give Me Back My Daughter, which is Liam Neeson.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about. Yeah. Okay, so back to the history of submarines.
Yeah.
It's not like a really surefire, like this is the first one, but back in the Siege of Syracuse, which is 415 to 413 BC, there was divers that would have just a big long tube, like a big snorkel, and they would clear debris and stuff so you could get ships in there.
I mean, what is the point if you're just going to be using a straw anyway?
What?
Pulling plastic out of the ocean. And you have to use a big straw to do it.
I know.
Well, I mean, there's
one step forward, two steps backwards these guys.
You're right.
There are apparently plans for various plans for submersibles dating back to the Middle Ages. And then someone built them in 1578, and it is essentially an entirely wooden capsule. And it's pretty similar. I mean, it's a tube, and it's got waterproof leather outside or inside, somewhere in there. And the way it does the ballast is it's got two big leather sacks, and you suck water in with the big leather sacks, or you push it out on the big leather, like a big bellows almost.
Ah.
Yeah. So I mean, they had a prototype. I don't know if it ever worked. But you'd have to row it? I don't really know how they did. It's a hand-operated wooden screw thread adjustable plungers, which I did not understand.
Is that like when you have the big boats and the oars go through the sides?
Yeah, but it has to be watertight. So I don't...
Just put leather around it. Middle Ages people loved putting leather around stuff to make it waterproof. Like
that, that's true.
What was that?
Also, that's big...
That's true!
That big straw thing, right? I think that would be a fun group activity now. Like, let's say that all the really long straws, they were all attached to a boat, the top of them, so that you know that you don't have to be focusing on holding your straw up.
Yeah.
So that it's always sticking out of the water.
It's there.
I reckon that'd be if you're like 3, 4, 5 meters underwater, I reckon that would be a real big bummer to have it like, you go, that was water pouring into the
Yeah, and then all of a sudden you're 5 meters under the surface and you're like, that's ages away.
But if you were all like, let's say 4 meters underwater and you're with friends and you each have your own kind of like...
That's cool.
I think that'd be really fun. Just like walking, there, you're just kind of walking. Like maybe you got weights on your feet and you're just kind of walking on the bottom of the sand. I think that'd be a fun
time. That'd be cool.
And then I'm in the boat pouring Nang down.
Like that. I think that'd be really cool.
Laughing gas down the tube. Yeah. And then it's fun.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Tripping balls underwater.
That'd be cool. And then you would die, I think.
Yeah. And would that be a peaceful way to die? Or?
Yes.
I think so.
I think it would.
I think so. Would it be a peaceful way to watch someone die, do you think?
If you were tripping
Would you take peace of like watching someone struggle and
drown?
No,
but I mean, I just wonder, you know, like watching somebody drown, is that peaceful as well? Or is it just...
It's one of those things we have to be there for. You
yeah,
know?
It's impossible to say. What's that song that they reckon in the air tonight and the guy watched another guy drown? And then, do you know this, ATV?
I didn't know that this was what this song was
so,
about.
Well, I don't think it is, but it's like a conspiracy theory that In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins?
Oh my God.
That's pretty good.
Is that a set of drums in there?
And apparently apparently the song is about a guy who watched another guy drown, and then the legend is at a concert, Phil Collins invited the guy who watched the guy drown to the show and then shone a spotlight on him and sang the song to him. But there's just no way any of that is true, right?
So he didn't write the song about watching a man drown.
Well, I don't know. I don't think so. Phil Collins didn't watch the man drown. He's writing it about the man who watched a man drown and did nothing. Could have saved him, right?
So or he knew this man.
I think so, yeah.
And he called him out.
And so in any... the way that he was going to approach this guy about his crime was to write it really indirectly, write the song that expresses, I guess, what happened through metaphor.
Make sure it's a smash hit.
And then put a spotlight on this guy during a show. Nobody around would have understood that that's what was happening.
Yeah, you got to talk to the lighting guys and the stage manager and stuff. Like, oh, can we get a spotlight on this seat in row one? And they went, no, please, can we just play? I got something cool going on here. But then also, what does a guy do, right? If you watched a guy drown and didn't do anything about it, and then Phil Collins shot a spotlight on you and sang at you, what would you do? That doesn't do anything. That's not even really revenge.
I'd be like, whoa.
Maybe it'd be cathartic.
I was pretty awful about the horrible thing I did and that my life wouldn't be worthwhile.
But now Phil Collins is paying me attention.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would mean Phil Collins would have had to know where he was sitting. He would have had to be part of organizing the ticket, which means Phil Collins is like, hey, man, come to my show.
Mm.
Yeah, come along. I'll give you a free ticket. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Yeah,
unless Phil Collins just checks the ticket sales.
Every show he ever does.
You know, so he's performing to 20,000 people. He's going like, wait, I know that guy. That's right. That's that guy that watched somebody drown and did
nothing. He's got a spotlight ready on every seat in the stadium.
And even if Phil did know this somehow, isn't there a chance that this is just some people's interpretation of what this guy did?
Yeah. But also, if you're like watching a person drown, it'd be heroic to save them. But also, if you can't swim and you're not a super strong swimmer, you're going to also drown. Because grabbing someone, if you have no training out of how to save someone to drown, they're going to latch onto you. They're in full survival mode.
Yeah.
It is.
They're going to try and get up, which means pushing you down. You're gone.
Yeah, it is one of those ones where you're like, you hear that more often than not, that like somebody went to save somebody and then they drowned themselves.
Yeah.
Sometimes even the person who was drowning got saved, was saved.
Yeah.
The person was just like, no. I don't know what that's what no was that because they gave up.
Yeah, I'm gonna drown now.
Yeah. It looked pretty cool when you were doing it.
I didn't come here to save you. I was coming here to join you.
It looked really peaceful.
It looked peaceful.
So I was just like relaxing so hard. I was like, I want to do that.
Well, on that note, I've been Hayden.
I've been Cass.
And I have been Alistair Tromley Birchall.
Yes, ATB, you are on. Two in the Think Tank with Andy is a fantastic pod. I don't think I told you this, but my podcast app glitched out and for some reason reset only five of the podcasts I listened to so that none of the episodes have been listened to. So and your podcast has 300 and something episodes or 400 and something episodes. So, well, 10 years of podcasts or something.
Yeah.
And so it just has 400 in the queue. And I'm like,
whoa.
Fuck it. I'm going to do it. And so I've been just smashing it. I'm up to episode 50.
Holy moly.
It's funny. If you ever listen to Two in the Think Tank now, great pod. You should do it. Queue it up after this. What else you got going on?
What do you got going on?
Do it right now while I'm talking. Punch in Two in the Think Tank. Press up next. Okay? Done. Sorted.
Pop and bless.
Pop and bless.
But you listen to it now and sometimes you guys come up with a sketch idea. That's the premise of the show. Come up with five sketch ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be like, I swear we've done this on the show before. And you're kind of like, oh, it's forgivable. They've done 450 episodes or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think you do that in episode 10. There's an episode where you're like, I think have we done this already?
I don't know. Who would have thought that we would actually just keep going? But yeah, we know that this year we have to do a 400th episode. Which means
is that this year?
Yeah, so we have to do a... Yeah, we have to do we have to come up with 400 sketches.
Yeah,
on one.
So that's the tradition. Episode 100 was 100 episode, 100 sketch ideas. 200 was 200.
Yeah, you can go on YouTube and you can see the 300th one. And
yeah,
and
I'm in it.
All appear. Yeah, and that last one was really well filmed because Evan really set it up, and so it's there to be remembered.
Is 400 going to be good?
I mean, I'm so stressed. How
far away are you?
I think there's maybe 30 more episodes, so 30 weeks, I guess.
Okay, so it's a decent amount away.
Half year away, I guess. Yeah, so
7-8 months or something.
Yeah, and I think this year is also the 10 years since we started it.
That's pretty big.
You should come up with 10 sketch ideas.
That's a great idea. That's a funny idea, and I think we will do that for one of the episodes. I did find the date. I gotta. Thank you. I mean, we do that accidentally anyway, usually on some episodes.
Yeah, he's getting a roll.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks for joining us.
My goodness, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for coming.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.